Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. The time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast, and today is the first of October 2022, and you're tuned in to TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show on the TMG and the Michael Gay Network, and happy Saturday, everybody. Welcome to the show. We have a few topics that we're going to get to, some interesting topics. We left off last week talking about sayings. You know, the old sayings, those old wise tales, stuff like that. We're going to get into that later on because you hear them. My co-host Janet Davis found that there's about 63 different sayings. And, you know, I was just curious, where did they come from, you know, and what their meanings are. So we're going to get into that later on the show. And we're going to talk about the passing of Coolio. And the most current thing is the unfortunate disaster that occurred in the Gulf and down in Florida. Hurricane Ian, I should say. What devastation. Wow. Death toll is still going up. And, you know, of course, our prayers to everyone. But let's get the show started. But first, I want to open up the mic and say hello to the lady of the house, Janet Pollock Hawkins. Davis. Happy Saturday, Janet.
Hey, Michael. Yeah, I was just listening to you about the Florida for Ian. The death toll is up to 77 so far and still rising.
Right. You know, it's sad, of course, you know, but I mean, this was one of the worst hurricanes, and then it, of course, it hit landfall, and then it went back into the ocean, right? Went back into the water and got a little more, you know, power to it. And hit the Carolinas. You know, you and I were talking yesterday a little bit about it, and what I found interesting is that one of the news broadcasts was saying that they were talking to people in Carolina, and individuals who own, many individuals who own boats, decided to ride it out on their boat. I don't think I could do that. But you were explaining to me that you knew some people, or you have some family that have boat, and there were some people who were going to try to move their boats over to Alabama, you know, but fortunately they didn't have to because of the area.
Or put it up, and to take your boat out of the water and put it out, it's almost the same as moving it. So you're looking at anywhere from maybe $6 to $1,000. It depends on how big the yacht is, but still, that's a lot of money, you know. And so you have to be prepared and have a nest egg just in case of an emergency. I'm just glad that Ian moved over and didn't continue going up in Florida like he had originally planned on.
Yeah, because initially it was supposed to hit Georgia, parts of Georgia. Well, it did skirt like, what was it, Savannah just a little. But it actually was supposed to be on track to actually hit inland Georgia, but fortunately that didn't happen. So that's why we have some nice, beautiful days today. But I don't think I could just stay on my boat. I just couldn't do it. I would have to go, you know, inland and get a hotel or something, just pray that my boat is still there when I get back.
Right.
But,
it also depends on how big your boat is. I mean, it was shifting on all these different boats around. And, I mean, on land, miles, some of them are a good ways away from the water, you know. But it, when you got a boat that's like a house, you know, it blows the house away, so it can blow the boat away too, you know.
Right. Well, they were showing this recently on the news. It showed, I forgot what area, from the Fort Myers area, and there's a causeway that just completely is gone. Some of the islands and stuff, it's just completely gone. Houses are just taken completely off the foundations. You know, this, they said, I forgot what area it was that they said, but 90% is gone. 90%.
Right.
This is not something that's going to be fixed in a year. This is going to be, I mean, long-term repairs.
Well, you know, the insurance companies were planning, leaving Georgia. I mean, leaving Florida. In 23, they were bailing out of Florida because of the fast storm. And even though the insurance payoff, because you got to build the house or the boat or whatever it is differently, because now it has to go up even higher than what it was before, just on the regular land, you got to have it a lot higher and you got to be more forceful with it. So you're tripling the price in a lot of cases, you know, instead of, like, say, for instance, $200,000 and you might have to put $300,000. But now it's like maybe 500, and I'm just using that as a for instance, in order to rebuild the house, the structure.
Well, according to this article here that I'm looking at, I'm just going to go through this briefly. It says the grim toll is rising from Ian in Florida, with state officials saying 47 deaths are confirmed to be connected to the storm. At least 54 deaths in total have been confirmed, including at least 4 in North Carolina and at least 3 in Cuba. Saturday, the sheriff in Lee County, Florida, confirmed that at least 35 people have died there. This, plus 11 others confirmed deaths statewide, brings the Florida death toll from Ian to at least 46. Damage assessments were underway Friday in South Carolina after Hurricane Ian made landfall again, and search and rescue efforts were ongoing in Florida as the full scope of the storm's damage was just coming into view there. So let's see, it came to shore near Fort Myers on Wednesday as a Category 4, which is very powerful, devastating Florida's southwest Gulf Coast and bringing dangerous floods and damaging winds across the state. Storm made landfall again as a Category 1 on the South Carolina coast near Georgetown at about 2:05 p.m. Friday. I don't know. I just couldn't see, you know, year after year knowing that these are great possibilities, you know, year after year that there's great possibilities that there's going to be a hurricane. Question.
Yeah, climate change is making it even worse.
But my question is, if you had to live in a state or area that is prone to a certain storms or catastrophes, or, you know, would you rather live in an area that is prone to hurricanes, earthquakes, or tornadoes?
Well, I'm right now in I'm in Tornado Alley in Woodstock, Georgia. So my chances of a tornado hitting is like, I mean, they're all around me whenever one comes in this area. I've just been lucky that I haven't been hit with anything. I've had a tree fall on my house, but that was about it, twice. But the death toll that I checked just before the show, it's 77 so far, so overall.
I don't know. You know, living
and I also have family in Carolina, South Carolina, and North Carolina. You know, so I'm just hoping that everything fans fair for them and that they don't get a lot of destruction, because between Florida, Carolina, and Georgia, you know, New York, you know, so it's sad, you know, because a lot of those people didn't have anything but their boats or their houses, you know, and they decided to ride it out, and you got winds up to 150 miles an hour, and the surge, they went up even up to 12 feet on some of the surges. That's like, I know it had to be a nightmare, you know.
Yeah,
for a lot of
I heard a sad story. Right,
yeah.
But I heard a sad story of a couple who that were at home, and they were on, you know, on not life support, but you know, oxygen or whatever, and when the power went out, it didn't work. So that, you know, so that's something that people don't think about. You know, most of the time we just think about, you know, the winds and the rains, you know, folks, you know, the flooding, you know, maybe drowning or whatever. But when the power goes out, the effect it has, you know, on a lot of things, you know, that was sad to hear too.
Right.
I don't know. Earthquakes, you know, you can't predict an earthquake. You don't see them coming. Tornadoes, hurricanes, you get warnings. But earthquakes aren't seasonal, you know. Tornadoes and hurricanes, you know it's that time of year, you know. But earthquakes, there's no season to it. It just hits. So
right.
I think I'd rather live in an area that at least you get a warning and evacuate. I would have to leave. I just couldn't hunker down and go through it. I just couldn't. Well, our
yeah, you know, but they get so many warnings, Michael, and they think, well, this is going to be probably like the last time, and then they have a rude awakening. I have a nephew said he wasn't going anywhere, and he was going to be right in the path of it. So I was like, you know, what can you do or say to him? You know, because if they're not going anywhere and they want to ride it out, you know, you just can pray for them. That's about it.
Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. Okay. Well, that's, well, as I said, our prayers go out to all the victims and their families and all the loss of the loved ones. You know, I just, I don't know. It's really a sad story. Okay, so let's move on. I want to go to this next story. In the political realm, is it Jean Thomas? That's Justice Thomas's wife. She told, Jenny Thomas, wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, told the January 6th investigators she still believes the 2020 election was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
She believes
she,
it was stolen.
She was there for almost 4 hours, and she tried to say her husband didn't even know about half the stuff that was happening with her until he heard it on the news. But I find that hard to believe, you know?
Well, let me just read this article real quick. Virginia, Jenny, I guess, Thomas, the wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, told the House committee investigating the January 6th insurrection that she still believes the 2020 presidential election was stolen despite a lack of evidence to support that claim. That's according to CNN reporter Annie Grayer, who spoke Representative Benny Thompson, the Mississippi Democrat, who chairs the committee leading the probe into the attack on the U.S. Capitol by supporters of former President Donald Trump. Quote, yes, he told CNN after Thomas testified. Wait a minute. Why is this going on this? Okay, there we go. Thomas, I got lost. Thomas testified for about 4.5 hours. Thompson told Grayer that Thomas answered some questions and that her interview could become part of the next hearing if there's something of merit. The committee postponed a hearing scheduled for September 28th because of Hurricane Ian in Florida, and it has not released a new date. In a statement said by the New York Times, Thomas also denied talking to her husband about her advocacy after the election, adding that she and her husband had an ironclad rule not to speak about Supreme Court cases.
Mm-hmm.
She believes it was stolen. That, you know, that's kind of, I don't know. What does that tell you, Janet, that maybe Clarence feels the same way?
Well, it has been proven that he ruled on some of the cases that she had was part of that was brought before the Supreme Court, you know, and so he's not showing any being impartial. Yeah. So instead of him recusing himself, he votes, you know, so I think they need to change the rules when it comes to family members or someone that you're close to, and you have to, and it goes before the Supreme Court, I feel, and a lot of other people feel the same way, that they need to recuse themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And
well,
there's no way
like
you're in the household and you don't know what the other one's doing.
Well, just like they say in many court cases, you can't force a spouse to testify against another spouse. Okay, you can't force them to testify against another one.
But some of the things you voted on that she was advocating for, it just makes it seem very suspicious, you know. And that's
mm-hmm.
a lot that you know. So that's all they've been talking about, really, on all the various news channels that are, you know, like in between, not you know, far right or far left.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they I just know eventually I guess the Congress is going to make a bill that's going to have I guess more rules because they don't have anybody supervising or telling them their do's and don'ts. They just do whatever, whenever, however, you know. And you can't be, I just think it's wrong to be partial for something when you know you have to be kind of neutral. It's hard when it's a family member.
Mm.
You got to go home and sleep with that person.
Yeah, I don't believe that, you know, that they go home and they see each other and there's no conversation. I just can't see that. There's no conversation about what's going on. I have a hand raised, and luckily we have the law in the house. I'm opening up the mic to Officer Crenshaw. Happy Saturday, my brother. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you, Mike? Hey, Janet.
Hey. How are you?
I'm going to be here for a little while. I'm going to try to hang as long as I can. But I got some birthdays coming up. So my daughter's is tomorrow and mine is Monday. And then
okay.
I just found out that Al Sharpton's birthday is Monday, too. Damn.
Mm-hmm. Well,
oh,
happy birthday to you. Yeah, it's going to be your birthday. So what are you doing for your birthday? Going anywhere special?
They got something planned for me. They won't tell me, so I don't know. You know, I just hope it's not pushing me off into a bunch of damn water or something. So they got something planned. I turn down birthdays all the time. I never worked on my birthday. As a police officer, I didn't want to die on the same day that I was brought in. So I never worked on my birthday. I would always take that day off. But I'm letting them do whatever they want to do this year, you know, for me. Whatever they want to buy me, whatever they want to do. You know, normally I get the dollar and a half gift while she gets the $1,000 gift. So let's see what they do this year.
All right.
The buck and a half gift, huh?
Yep.
Oh, boy. You just made me think of a joke years ago that Eddie Murphy told something about on the birthday where the kid said, "This for you, Daddy." And they opens it up and says, "Oh, you shouldn't have." And it says, and he goes, "Brute by Fabergé." I buy you a bottle of fruit. He says, "You cheap motherfuckers, you."
Yeah, they're actually going to be worth something someday. Brute and Old Spice. They're
mm-hmm.
going to be worth something someday.
And don't forget Stetson. And High Karate. That's still exists.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about High Karate.
I never heard of that.
Yeah,
you never
that
heard
was
of High Karate?
Favorite,
no.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they have the Asian guy do the karate chop and like, "High Karate." And that was it, and everybody wanted it.
Yep.
And Officer Crenshaw, wasn't that back like in the days of the Bruce Lee movies and stuff? That's when it was popular.
Say that again.
I said that was back in the days like the Bruce Lee movies, you know, like the martial arts movies.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
when that was out, back in the 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. Well, happy birthday to you. Hopefully they won't push
yeah.
you in the water. You know. So we wish you the best.
I have to
yeah,
make you a birthday card.
A birthday what, Janet?
A birthday card.
Oh.
From the heart.
Okay. Oh, Connie, I thought you said something else. No, I was gonna jump all over that.
I'm not believing
that. Let's go into the next topic. Unfortunately, bad news in the music industry. And this blew me away when I read it. Grammy-winning rapper Coolio dies in Los Angeles at 59. Now, there was a lot of questions about how he died. Initially, they didn't announce the cause of death, but here's the story. Grammy-winning rapper Coolio died on Wednesday after being found unresponsive at a friend's Los Angeles home, the New York Times report. He was 59. Coolio, born artist Leon Ivey Jr., was best known for his 1995 single Gangsta's Paradise from an album of the same name. That song, a massive hit featured in the film Dangerous Minds, won a Grammy Award for Best Rap Solo Performance the following year. Excuse me for a minute. The rapper died at about 5 p.m. Pacific time at a local hospital. his manager, Jerez Posey, told the Times. Posey told the paper that Ivy had earlier been found unresponsive in the bathroom of a friend's home. There were no immediate reports on the cause of death. Ivy, who was born in Pennsylvania in 1963, began performing as part of the West Coast hip-hop scene after moving to Compton, California. He released his debut album, It Takes a Thief, in 1994, scoring a top 10 hit with the single Lakeside. Sad news. Sad news. You know, he did one song called 1, 2, 3, 4. He did another one, Fantastic Voyage, which also featured the music from Lakeside's hit single, Fantastic Voyage. I recall seeing him on panel of certain game shows from time to time and everything, but according to some articles, they showed where he was at, I think at an airport or somewhere, and fans, you know, were taking pictures with him like the day before or just before he passed away. He had performed open for Eminem, I believe, and one person said that he had invited them to the show. They decided not to go because it was an hour away from where they were going to be, and they just thought about the fact that this was, you know, this was the night before he passed away they would have seen him perform, you know, that he invited them. Y'all remember Coolio, of course. And you listen to his music, and, you know, I listen to a lot of his songs. His rap wasn't, you know, he cursed, you know, but it wasn't gangster rap per se, I don't believe. What do you think? I think most of his stuff was like fun, you know, type rap, for lack of a better term. What do you think?
That's true. It wasn't real hardcore gangster.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, like you said, it was, I don't want to use the word comical, but, I mean, it was understandable. It wasn't hardcore, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. From what I gather, you know, when I listened to it, it was, you know, some of his videos were just fun. You know, if you look, it was dancing and stuff like that. But like you said, right, it wasn't hardcore. And speaking of that, let me go ahead and let's listen to one of his tracks. In fact, let's listen to the most popular track. It's Gangsta's Paradise. And we'll be right back.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking and where you're walking, or you and your homies might be lying in chalk. I really hate the trip, but I gotta low. As they croak, I see myself in the pistol smoke. Fool, I'm the kind of G the little homies wanna be like. On my knees in the night, saying prayers in the streetlight. The situation they got me facing, I can't live a normal life. I was raised by the shit, so I gotta be down with the hood team. Too much television watching got me chasing dreams. I'm an educated fool with money on my mind. Got my tin in my hand and a gleam in my eye. I'm a loped out gangster, set tripping banker, and my homies is down, so don't arouse my anger. Fool, death ain't nothing but a heartbeat away. I'm living life do or die, what can I say? I'm 23 now, but will I live to see 24? The way things are going, I don't know.
Tell me why are we so blind to see that the one we hurt are you and me?
and the money, money and the power. Minute after minute, hour after hour, everybody's running, but half of them ain't looking what's going on in the kitchen. But I don't know what's cooking. They say I got to learn, but nobody didn't teach me. If they can't understand it, how can they reach me? I guess they can't, I guess they won't, I guess they front. That's why I know my life is out of luck, fool.
TMGS, it's the Michael Gay Show here on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. Anybody know where the music for that came from? Anyone recall where that music comes from?
I don't know. No.
Yeah.
But when I hear that particular rap, and I know he's going to get me later on, it makes me think of Timon. If Timon was rapping, that's what he would sound like.
You know, you got a point there. It does kind of sound like Timon's voice and the way he talks. You know, but that is taken from Stevie Wonder's Pastime Paradise.
Ah.
Oh. Call that song? Yeah, that was from Pastime Paradise.
Hmm. So he said he walked through the valley of the shadow of death in Pastime Paradise?
Yeah. No, well, Stevie don't, but, you know, the rap is totally different than the lyrics of Stevie's song, but the music comes from that album. Interesting. Well, God bless and God rest his soul. 59, though, man.
Yeah.
And according to the report, I guess we didn't say that, it did come out that he had had a heart attack from what I read, so at a friend's house.
Right.
Mm. So there was no signs of him having any illness or anything whatsoever. Wow. Okay, so let me move on to our next topic. And I'm sorry, you guys, I'm flipping through the phone here because I got a text from Cotton. She's on the board. She said she's just listening in because she's in a location that has a little sound, so she doesn't want to have the background noise. But hello, Cotton. How you doing?
Mm-hmm. Hi, Cotton.
Hey, Casey.
Where am I? Oh, okay. Let me get back to the list of topics we were talking about today. I want to save that one for later. Oh, by the way, she took back. She said, hey. So,
that's that girl.
Let's see, we already talked about that. Oh, NFL claims concussion protocols didn't fail to this name Tagovailoa on Sunday. That's hard to believe after Thursday's scary head injury. I don't know if anybody's been following this, but
Did you see the game?
I saw just a clip of it. I didn't see the game, but let me read this a little bit here. For days, the NFL told us our eyes were lying to us when it came to the health of Tua Tagovailoa's head. Regardless of the footage showing his helmet slamming against the turf against the Buffalo Bills last Sunday in Miami, or his knees giving out while he collapsed back onto the ground, or teammates supporting the Dolphins quarterback to, in spite of his buckling leg. The message was unified. Concussion protocols were followed, and Tagovailoa passed. The league office was confident in that message within hours of Miami's win over Buffalo. And again Wednesday, when Vice President of Communications Jeff Miller reiterated it. Quote, every indication from our perspective is that it was Miller, but it was followed, Miller said, of the protocols. I know that the player, the coach, and others have spoken to this. Translated more bluntly, this was the league and the team and even Tagovailoa, I can't say that name, all saying the same thing. We know what we think you saw, but you're wrong. On Thursday, there was little chance for the assertion to exist a second time, not with Tagovailoa appearing unconscious while lying on the field after a second quarter hit by the Cincinnati Bengals, not with his arms and fingers flexed into a fencing response near his face, a telltale sign of a brain injury, and not with the footage coming on Amazon Prime Video's Thursday Night Football primetime stage, with multiple replays erasing any doubt that something frightening had happened. I saw the clips of Scrimshaw. Did you see him? And Jen, I'm sure you did.
Yes, I saw him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, it didn't appear to be as hard of a hit as it turned out to be. And immediately mm-hmm. his hands and fingers locked up.
Yeah, seized.
Mm-hmm. Immediately. And my son, and I guess I missed this part, but my son ran downstairs talking about, oh, they wrong, they dirty, they wrong. Talking about he was throwing up gang signs or something. Somebody, one of the commentators said something like that, which I didn't hear that. But I do know from a brain injury, you know, like a concussion, you know, certain parts of your body will lock up just like from a stroke.
Mm-hmm. Well, the first time he was tackled, his knees buckled when he got back up and he almost fell to the ground. You know, so they checked him out and they said he was okay. But they're thinking that he had an injury from a head injury Thursday. And then they let him go right back and play on Sunday.
Yeah, it was a brain injury, a head injury from Sunday, and then they let him play Thursday.
Oh, okay. I got it back. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
So, you know, but now, I mean, you could tell.
Uh-huh.
You could tell when he raised his body and his hands, the way his fingers locked up,
mm-hmm.
that it was something going on in his body.
Right. Yeah.
But
they automatically knew
they
that
got this new helmet
because his hands seized up. Yeah.
Well, they got this helmet that they wear in practice, but they're not wearing them in the games. And I heard a commentator say that they need to move towards this new helmet. I'm going to be honest. It looks crazy. That helmet looks, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but it's a crazy-looking helmet. But they said that it would definitely not eliminate, but help with the, you know, head injuries. I'm sure all of you have seen this helmet, haven't you? And the question now, if you're wondering, how come they don't wear a helmet?
Right.
You haven't?
No, but I have a great-grandson who just recently, a couple of weeks ago, was injured from a tackle because he plays football. You know, he's in junior high. And he had to stay out for 2 weeks behind that. You know, so it wasn't like he played and then turned right back around and jumped back in and played again. You know, because he had to go to the doctors and they said for him to stay out for 2 weeks. Because he had a concussion.
Mm-hmm.
That's a serious sport. You got this hard knock, you know. And I've seen them hit people and they fly up in the air and hit the ground. I mean, that I think that was, that's one of the worst. I mean, that's a good sport. It's a lot to see, but it's almost like boxing, as far as I'm concerned, you know, because you're getting all these hard knocks.
You're getting punched all the time. You know, I always found it interesting when they have these rules. And don't get me wrong, I mean, I believe it should be a safe sport. But when they started having all these rules, you know, with how you tackle the quarterback, you know, you got to be really careful. But hell, the running back is getting his ass beat. You know,
mm-hmm.
He's getting beat.
Well, you know, that's what actually hurt the sport, was all these rules to protect everybody, because everybody's mm-hmm. anticipating all of that. Not like back when me and you played, Mike, when the helmets was just a leather cap.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I'm not that old.
Y'all go back that far? Y'all not
I do.
I'm not that old.
You know, I mean, you got all these rules, so it's just like in a car accident. You're in a car accident, you get broke the hell up. But if you're drunk in a car accident, you walk away because your body's just flexing and moving. But with all these rules playing football, you're anticipating hitting, not hitting, doing this, not doing that, and it's taken away from the game.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hell, just get out there and be a kid like we used to be. Jump off the rooftop, roll on the ground, jump up, do a scissor kick, and keep going.
I was rolling with the best of them. I was a little they said tomboy, but I was a tomgirl. Climbing trees, beating people up.
The fight in the tree was the best one because everybody's trying not to fall off the branch.
I never played that game. I remember we used that dirt rock fight.
You crawl up in the tree, and everybody's like grabbing and trying to throw the other one down, and everybody's trying to hold on with their legs or anything you can hold on to not to get thrown out of the tree.
I never played that one. Like I said, we used to have dirt rock fights, throwing dirt rocks at each other. So, and sometimes
now,
they'd be
the
a
dirt
real
work?
Rock in
you
that
mean,
dirt.
You take some dirt and make it hard?
Well, in California, there was like where, I guess it was just different because, you know, you have the Georgia red clay here, but in out west they had, I mean, you would just like break up the ground and it'd just be like compact dirt, right? It'd be like a rock. Not a rock, but it's just really dirt, hard dirt. And you break it, you know, you break some pieces, and it'd just be like a clump of dirt and just have dirt rock fights. It was stupid, but that's what we did. You know, we didn't have water balloons. We had dirt rocks. We came up with something. That was just
that's the first time I heard of that.
Because the dirt rocks will explode like powder when they would hit you.
Right, exactly. Now, sometimes it might be a real rock in that dirt rock and that hurts. That had a rock in it. But, we just do stupid stuff. But, you know, like I said, this new helmet, it has, it looked like it has kind of like a foam padding on the outside. It looks crazy. It really does. And teams wear it in practice, but they're saying how come they don't wear it on the field. And when you look at it, if you look it up, you look online and you can see a picture of it. I wonder how's the team going to have their logo on the outside of it because of the way it's made. It just looks crazy. You remember the group Devo? Remember
the group
Devo? They had the hit song Whip It. You remember the hats they used to wear? It's similar to that in shape.
Oh, wow.
It's similar to right. It looks like that. It looks like a top. But I don't know. We'll see. And I thought that they just recently came up with a different, you know, design for helmets for football to be safer. I'm looking at the Wake Forest and the Florida State game. I'm looking at their helmets. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the padding on the helmet now is supposed to be different to where it you know, like we had, I don't want to say styrofoam, but that shit was hard. But they got like a,
right.
it's like inflatable now, where they can pump mm-hmm. it up, they can put air and take air out, and all, like a foam gel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had to add more pads if we wanted more protection. They just pump it up and squeeze it and, you know, squirt it or whatever they do.
Wow.
And, you know, and people don't think about the fact that the brain is actually floating. You know, so when you get hit, that your brain is bouncing around in your skull. You know, so it's actually floating in liquid. So
people were also complaining that they released him, I guess it was because of the hurricane that was, you know, in, but they released him so that he can fly home with his teammates, you know, and you know, so I hope he's okay, because I haven't heard anything.
That was on Thursday. They released him so he could fly home, but I'm sure he's going through a totally different protocol now before mm-hmm. he plays any more games.
Right.
But you hate to see that happen to anybody, especially playing a sport.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. It's a gladiator sport, and you know, there's going to be injuries. You definitely don't want anyone to get hurt. You definitely don't want anyone to have any problems with their brain. Unfortunately, and I'm not trying to make a joke out of it, but there are some people that I think after so many years playing football, it has affected, which we already know, their thought process.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, yeah.
Even boxing.
Yeah.
That helmet is called the Guardian Cap, the one
mm-hmm.
that you were talking about?
That's it. Yep, that's
mm-hmm.
it. The Guardian Cap. You see a picture of it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it almost looks like some styrofoam.
It just looks funny. I don't know if I could get used to that. I really don't.
Right.
And the question of how will the players take it? You know, are the players how they feel about it? But as far as wearing
it will be
in an actual game,
a new fad to them, just like when they came out with the different type of face masks, and then the shields that go on the face. It's just a new fad to them. They'll take it in stride. They'll ask for more money, but they'll take it in stride.
Mm-hmm. Especially if it's something that's going to protect them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And speaking of football players, Herschel Walker, what is... He might need to wear a helmet when he goes to this debate. I think Warnock's going to tag him real bad. When is that debate scheduled? Do you know, Janet?
I can look it up real quick.
If I was Warnock,
I
would tag out of that debate. I wouldn't go.
Why?
Because he might have a fit of rage or something up on the stage or something, man. That Herschel ain't got a full deck right now. You know, he might have a rage fit or something up on the stage.
Oh, boy. Well, we did talk about him last week, and I don't understand it. The allegations about his marriage with his wife and the threats and the, oh, man, that's pretty heavy. That's pretty heavy.
Well, I mean, you know, he talked about why he ran the way that he did, and it had to do with a lot of the anger and frustration he had inside of him from being picked on as a kid growing up. You know, and he just never released that. When I was coaching football, one of the kids that grew up with my son, he had anger management issues. So I convinced his mom to let me coach him in football, and he's the best damn thing out there ever now playing college ball.
Mm-hmm.
His anger issues have gone away, but see, Herschel got boosted into that spotlight to where they promoted his ability to do what he was doing constantly. So his anger issues never went away.
That debate is October the 14th in Savannah, Georgia.
Okay. I knew it was in Savannah, but I wasn't sure what the date was. Okay.
I hope he's prepared because Warnock is a good speaker, and he's going to put rings, you know, he's going to put rings around Herschel Walker. But the Republicans have been really playing a lot of commercials and everything, you know, bashing Warnock. And a lot of commercials are not true. But when you're only looking at a couple of stations, you believe networks, you believe what you hear, you know. And so I just wish sometimes people would actually tell the truth. One of those sayings, the truth will set you free. Just they need to be more truthful so they can be free.
Well, the sad part is that Walker had already said that, you know, that Warnock is going to, you know, embarrass him or something like that. He just, and if you saw the interview or when he's talking to the reporters and some individuals were standing next to him, when that came out of his mouth, they kind of looked at him like, what the hell are you saying? You know, it was just comical. It's like, dude, you already given up.
That's part of his strategy is to play the victim in the beginning before it even happens.
Mm-hmm.
So people feel sympathy.
Isn't that like Trump? Always, if he don't win, he always pretend it's been staged or rigged or, you know, come up with all these excuses.
Play the victim up front.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, that is a different strategy.
That judge, they ask for a master, they get a master, and because the master set the Trump's attorneys, had them put them on the spot and told them they had so many days to come up with this information because they claimed that they had DOJ planted stuff, the FBI planted stuff at Mar-a-Lago. So he wanted to know what it was. And then here comes Trump's judge that he put in place after he lost the election. She said, oh, they don't have to do any of that. Then she pushed the date out till November, I think.
They gave more time.
It was supposed to be within a week or two, and now she pushed it out till November.
Well, I think that this is going to run into next year, of course. This is going to go on until 2023, unfortunately.
Trump is
because here we have the
he'd be able to get turn over the Senate, so so they can get back to Senate, so they can toss all this out, or at least in the House.
Mm-hmm.
Be able to have investigations against the people who was on the January 6th commission. Yeah. Everybody has to get out there and vote.
Right.
We can't wait till a main election. You got to vote in the midterms also.
Right. Well, hopefully everybody will. It is important. Let's take a quick music break again, and we'll come back, and we're going to jump into our next topic. You're listening to the TMGS here on the TMGN. Here's Ishmael Sings with Excuse Me, DJ. We'll be right back.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me, DJ, can you play that record louder? I'm just trying to get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor. DJ, can you play that record louder? I'm just trying to get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor.
Oh, yeah.
Why
life standing here alone. Looking so fly, got me wondering who you came with. Maybe we can be friends, or we can have a fling, or you can be my main chick. Hold up, wait a minute, let me slow down. Girl, you just got my mind blown. I like know you, I'm just trying to get the jump on you, so maybe we can be alone. Not a fool to think that I'm the only one who noticed you, cause right now you got all eyes on me. So do you mind if I take you on the floor, so I can get one dance with ya before you leave, girl, yeah. Excuse me, DJ, can you play that record louder? I'm just trying to get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor. DJ, yeah. Excuse me, DJ, can you play that record louder? I'm just trying to get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor. Girl, we ain't gotta talk, we ain't gotta drink. All you gotta do is move that body. We gon' tear the floor up and get the club lit like it's a private party. It's unbelievable the way your body is calling for me. Yeah. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Not a fool to think that I'm the only one who noticed you, cause right now you got all eyes on me. So do you mind if I take you on the floor, so I can get one dance with ya before you leave, baby, yeah. Excuse me, DJ, can you play that record louder? I'm just trying to get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor. Excuse me, DJ, can you play that record louder? I'm just trying to get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor. I'm just tryna make a move, doing what I gotta do, just to get with you, baby. I'm just tryna make a move, make it do what it do, while I put you in the mood, baby. I'm just tryna make a move, doing what I gotta do, tryna get with you, baby. I'm just tryna make a move, doing what I gotta do, put my needle in the groove, baby. Excuse me, DJ, can you play that record loud? I'm just tryna get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor. Can you play that record loud? I'm just tryna get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor. Excuse me, DJ, can you play that record loud? I'm just tryna get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor.
Mr. DJ,
excuse me, DJ, can you play that record loud? I'm just tryna get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor.
Welcome back to the TMGS. That's Ishmael Sings with Excuse Me, DJ. You guys remember he was on the show, and wow, it was right, because his album called A Heart's Journey is number five on the UK Soul Charts right now. So congratulations to Ishmael, number five.
Wow.
That's yeah.
That's a good song.
That's awesome. That is truly awesome. I like that cut. I really like that cut. It took me a minute, and I was like, okay, let me listen to it. Because when I first listened to it, I was listening to it just on a regular speaker, and then I put in my earbuds and listened to it, and I was like, oh, okay, now I'm hearing it better. But, yeah, that's really a nice cut. Okay, so welcome back to the show. Wow, time is flying fast. We've only been into the first hour, and we're already into another topic. I wanted to wait for a little later, but let's go ahead and jump into it now. This should be interesting. Last week we were talking about sayings, these sayings that we hear. Where did they come from? You know, the grass is greener on the other side. Really? How so? It's proof in the pudding. Really? So Janet had looked and saw where there's 63 sayings you learned from your Southern grandma. Okay. Now, I know everybody doesn't have a Southern grandma, but you get it. And I'm trying to open up this here. Okay. So let me read a little bit of what this part says. Again, I read a little bit of it, and it kind of threw me off, but then later on it made more sense. But it says, our mothers and grandmothers have given us so much. They passed down their recipes, their China patterns, and their parenting tips for starters. But we just realized they passed down their vocabularies too. We have inherited their styles, their heirlooms, and more than a few of their favorite sayings as well. And we're beginning to understand what a treasure that truly is. From adages and proverbs to their favorite Southern terms of a phrase, these ladies sure do have a way with words. Have you heard any of these classic phrases? Surely your grandma has told you to eat an apple a day, or perhaps she mentioned that pretty is as pretty does. I never heard that one. But maybe you've heard that still waters run deep. Heard that.
Mm-hmm.
She has almost certainly exclaimed, goodness gracious. And of course, we have to. We heard all of these adages growing up, and we couldn't help but pick up a few ourselves. However, we're starting to think that these words are passed down to us like our hair color and height. They feel so right in our DNA. Give your grandma a call, and you're sure to hear at least one of these sayings before you say goodbye. What saying does your grandma always use? Here's one here, Jen, and I've heard, but I don't recall my grandma ever saying, you're the bee's knees.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what does that mean? I have no clue.
Well, you want me to look the bee's knees up?
Because
I might be four that I didn't really know too much about, and that's one of them. But almost every one of these sayings I have said, and I've even made a few on my own, but I'll look it up.
It says, if grandma's calling you, quote, the bee's knees, you must be doing something right. Okay, that helped, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've heard this one, many hands make light work. That's understandable.
Right.
Meaning never underestimate a little help. Don't count your chickens before they've hatched.
I know you heard that one.
So it says when grandma offers this advice, she wants to ensure that we don't count on something that may not happen. Here's one I've never heard. A rolling stone gathers no moss.
I heard that one.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It says classic proverb either encourages action instead of standing still or reminds that it's hard to put down roots when you're moving.
Okay, it makes sense. Okay. Pretty is as pretty does, and that was in the earlier part of the article, and it says made famous by Forrest Gump. Oh, okay, so that's a more recent. Well, I won't say recent, but that's not one of the old sayings. This phrase reminds us to look a little deeper. And I've heard this one, a stitch in time saves nine.
Mm-hmm.
A little effort now may save you lots of effort later, is the meaning of that.
And I've heard a little effort goes a long way. So it's basically the same thing. Mm-hmm.
Now, I think I mentioned last week that there's the one that says, you'd like to have your cake and eat it too. And they said that really what that means, no, you can't have your cake and eat it too. And the way I read that, it means that you can't have your cake and eat it too because once you eat it, you won't have it anymore. Does that make
sense?
That's
fine. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting. Let me see. I'm trying to get to the next section of this, and it's not letting me get to it.
It says, it's like herding cats.
Oh, here we go, number seven. you'll catch more flies with honey than with vinegar.
I've heard that a lot. I've said it often.
See, I don't say these things. I've heard them.
But you've never said them?
But I've never said
them. Well, a lot of times, Michael, like with my older children, my adults and their grandkids, sometimes I'll say phrases to, you know, when we're talking, and then I'll tell them what it really means, you know. But it's just like action speaks louder than words. You know, just certain things I normally say. I guess I was brought up in that era.
Well, yeah. Well, no, I mean, action speaks louder than words. That's very understandable, you know, what that means. But back to the one where you'll catch more flies with honey than with vinegar. According to this, it says, kindness works. Try it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever hear you want to be a cowboy? I'll give you enough rope just to hang yourself.
Damn, I've heard that. Okay.
No, I said that last week. That was my favorite saying. I made that one up. Because you want to go out there and think you want to be wild and everything, you know, I'll give you enough rope to hang yourself, you know?
Yeah, I've heard that before. One man's trash is another man's treasure. Now, that is true. That is true. I'm sure many of us have seen those shows, those storage war shows, and where they go in and they bid on the storage unit, and hell, they find some things and make some money off it. They might spend $500 for the storage place and whatever's inside, and making $1,500 off it. So that's pretty.
And
true.
Sometimes even more, because people have gotten expensive paintings and, you know, coin collections. You never know what's in those units.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Even cars. So the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And according to this, it says the loudest problems receive all the attention.
Yeah, and I've had bosses tell me that because I did my job and didn't make any noise or complain, you know, so they just left me alone. They were so busy promoting people who was fussing and carrying on, so I said, I guess I need to talk too. Or I had one boss tell me, why pay you when I get you when I have you for free? You know?
Well, that's like the saying now since you mentioned that, that's what's like, as the old saying was, why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I made that boss in his words.
Now, Cotton just sent us one that says, your daddy ain't no glass maker. You would hear that if you were standing in front of someone's view.
Right.
You know, like the TV's on, you walk in the room, you stand right there in front of the person, they're like, your daddy ain't no glass maker, get the hell out of the way. That's when I would hear that one then.
Mm-hmm.
Don't judge a book by its cover.
Read what's inside. Mm-hmm.
Read a few pages first. I believe that because I recall when I worked for Home Depot, they sent over a new store manager, and everybody was like, "Oh, he's so nice, he's so good." I'm like, "Hey, don't judge a book by its cover. So you better read a couple of chapters first. You know, this story could easily change, and sure enough, it did." You know, so don't look at the outside thinking that, you know, it's all good. Let me see here. I think Cotton sent another one. Let me take a look. Did she? Okay. I'll have to take a look and see. Oh, wait a minute. I just lost my spot. I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to go back.
Number 12, early bird catches the worm.
Yeah, but it just completely went off of that that site, so I have to open it back up and scroll back down. This number 12, let me scroll down. There's 8, 9, 10. Okay, the early bird catches the worm. Well, according to this, it says grandma is a proponent of proactivity. Okay. 13. A watch pot never boils. Really? Take your mind off things. The time will pass anyway. I don't get that one, though. A watch pot never boils.
Because you're steady watching that pot. It feels like it's taking forever to boil. You know, so they say take your mind off of that, you know, and the time will pass faster.
Okay. Too many cooks spoil the gravy.
I've heard that one.
Collaboration is one thing. This phrase is another. Or this phase is another. A penny saved is a penny earned. Oh, that's true. So don't forget about that savings account. Don't put the cart before the horse. First things first. Absence
this is my
makes
favorite.
The heart grow fonder.
Yeah.
But it says the jury is still out on this one.
They said what I've always said. That's one of my sins when someone's in a relationship and the things are acting right. You know, sometimes, you know, like that saying, you don't miss the water until the well runs dry. You know,
mm-hmm.
So they won't miss you if you're always hovering around them or, you know, wanting attention. You let them miss you.
The absence makes the heart grow fonder. Not in every case. Now I see why they said the jury is still out on this one. Some folks be like, I'm glad they gone. You know, it ain't making the heart grow fonder. Their presence is making the anger. It's making that pot boil. That's what
mm-hmm.
happens. Okay, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Okay, we've heard that one before. Another
mm-hmm.
reminder to be measured about what you do and how you do it. See, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Okay, heard that one and use it.
Yeah.
Definitely use that one. There's only so much you can do, but do what you can anyway. Your take on that one?
Well, I that's something that I normally say. That's why I'm not commenting.
Okay. A rising tide lifts all boats. I've never
now
heard
that one I didn't know about. Mm-hmm. You heard of that one?
No, I haven't. I've never heard of that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me
there's
either.
No room for envy here. Make hay while the sun shines. Never heard that one.
I've heard that
one. Okay, use your time wisely is what it was. Mm-hmm. Here's one I'm sure everybody has used.
Yeah,
beggars can't be choosy. Or beggars can't be choosers.
Mm-hmm.
Say thank you and move on. Right. There's no accounting for taste. I've never heard that one.
Right.
Though
I
grandma's
never heard
face is impeccable. All right. A thing of beauty is a joy forever. The phrase is from John Keats Endymion, Endymion. Okay. And I don't know who John Keats is. Do you?
No.
Okay. Goodness gracious. It's been
I've heard
every
that.
Day, all day, for as long as we can remember.
Mm-hmm. My mother-in-law used to say that a lot.
Goodness gracious. I have a friend of mine, he has a saying, is it God Almighty? No. It's not God
yeah.
Almighty, it's God Almighty? No.
Yeah.
He killed
or
me when he
said
that.
Or time is just flying by.
Don't take any wooden nickels. Beware the useless. Birds of a feather flock together.
Flock together, as one of my sayings.
Never look a gift horse in the mouth. Now, I never understood that one.
They said a thank you will suffice.
I still don't get it. What does looking at a gift horse in the mouth have to do with a thank you? I don't get that one.
Well,
people who live in glass houses
just say thank you because sometimes you can give somebody something and instead of them thanking you, they just take it for granted. So you can at least say thank you, you know. I have somebody recently that was visiting me. I had to say, well, how's the food? You know, because they never said yeah or nay, and I know I'm a good cook. So I'm waiting for you to at least say, you know, you like it, you know, especially when I know mm-hmm. I put my foot in it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
So
people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones.
That's right.
Because those walls aren't shatterproof or opaque. Okay. You can't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs. I haven't heard that one. All right.
Try again is the
answer to that one. A trouble shared is a trouble half.
I didn't hear that one before.
Don't underestimate the power of a good friend's ear. Don't throw the baby out with bathwater. That one there. Because your ass will go to jail for child abuse. So keep what you treasure.
Right.
Let the rest go. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
An apple a day keeps the doctor away. We know that one.
Right.
Happy eating all the way. Home is where the heart is.
I know you heard that one.
And don't you forget it. Yeah. Early to bed and early to rise makes you healthy, wealthy, and wise.
I've heard that one.
Underneath that, a gentle reminder that grandma still cares about your bedtime and general well-being. This phrase is attributed to Benjamin Franklin. Okay. Well, I say this all the time now. Now we're getting to the ones I know. This isn't my first rodeo. I've done this before. Grandma knows. She always knows. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. True.
That's my favorite.
There's no use crying over spilt milk. Damn, there's a lot of sayings.
Mm-hmm.
You're a day late and a dollar short.
And I've said that one a lot.
Yeah. Right. I love you a bushel and a peck and a hug around the neck. I've never heard that. Never heard that one. And it says, because she's grandma, that's why. And because she still listens to this Doris Day tune. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I remember
it's
that.
Song.
Anyway, you're barking up the wrong tree.
Yep, that's one of my sayings.
Fortune favors the brave.
I don't know about that one.
It doesn't cut the mustard. I've never had to cut mustard. But I didn't know you had to cut mustard. That must be some old-ass mustard if you have to cut it. Dry it up.
It's not up to par. It says whatever it is, it's not up to par.
Okay. Confession is good for the soul. Well, that's true. Well, depending on what you're confessing about, you cheating, you may not want to confess. You might lose your soul. More than you can shake a stick at. I've heard that one before. Strike while the iron is hot.
I've heard that one.
Heard that. Share and share alike.
Yeah.
The apple never falls far from the tree.
That's another one that I say a lot.
There's more than one way.
So many sayings. So many sayings. You know, until I read the
And for y'all that's listening, I'm sure you've heard a lot of these, but I just was curious about all these sayings, and we're just going through quite a few of them now. But just wondering how often do you say them? You know, you said that you said a few of these. There's more than one way to skin a cat. Really?
I've said that one.
Yeah, but how many ways do you skin a cat? And why would you want to? That might be a problem. And underneath that it says, if at first you don't succeed, there's surely another strategy to try. Well, skinning a cat is not going to be on my list. As I live and breathe, I've heard it, I've never used it. You're preaching to the choir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've said that one a lot.
So it's supposed to mean you're working too hard to convince people who are already on board. Okay.
I know, Michael, you've heard me say that a
lot. Mm-hmm.
When
I've heard you say that.
When you're trying to tell me something I already
know. You're preaching
too
far. And I'm like, well, I didn't know you already knew, but okay. All right. Don't buy a pig and a poke.
I don't know about that.
Grandma would not recommend buying something sight unseen. Well, people do that every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just did that a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Buy stuff online. Well, I saw a picture of it. Yeah, but you didn't see it. You know, and it's very
important. I've ordered something, and I read up on it. I know everything that it said was installed in it. So I was like, okay, you know, that's a good deal. And I got it today, and it has everything that I was looking for.
Okay. You're making a mountain out of a molehill. Okay. Any job worth doing is worth doing well. Okay. See, it says she taught us this, and we took it to heart. You can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear.
Sow's ear.
That's a new one. According to this, says you can always count on grandma to be realistic. Every dog has its day.
Yeah.
That one before. Good fortune comes to everyone eventually. Well, that could mean two things, though. Because I've heard folks use that term, every dog has his day, in a bad way. Like, you're going to get yours.
No, yeah.
Not necessarily good fortune. It could be a negative. If it had been a snake, it would have bitten you.
Oh, yeah.
Keep your eyes and wits about you. You're the cat's meow.
I've heard that one.
Okay, which is high praise. It doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Oh, Lord. Okay. And let me get to number 60. Hurry up. We're burning daylight.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard that one. Okay. The meaning, also known as, it's time to go. This is how Granny lights a fire under the kids, grandkids, and grandpa. What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
That's one of my favorites.
If it's appropriate for one, surely it's appropriate for the other two. Where there is a will, there is a way. We've all said that. And let's see. The last one. Oh, bless your heart.
So, Michael, how many of these these sayings have you really heard? I mean, I know it's maybe four that I haven't said myself, but I was amazed at how many I use when I, you know,
It was 63 of them that we just read, okay? 63 phrases. I have to say maybe a quarter of them. But half of them mm-hmm. I've heard, maybe a quarter of them I've used.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them I've never heard before. And by the way, Austin Crenshaw has rejoined us. He missed the list. But Austin Crenshaw, can you think of an old phrase or one of those wise tales that you've heard or that people use and you kind of wonder, what is that supposed to mean?
I didn't hear any of the ones that you guys said. I was running an errand for my own birthday. Mm-hmm. But anyway, you can draw more flies with sugar than you can shit.
One on the list.
Now, that wasn't on the list.
It was honey. Well, it says you could draw more flies with honey than with vinegar. But he said sugar than shit.
Right. Well, you're supposed to be sweet. Supposed to be sweet and tell the truth and not lie. That's
mm-hmm.
what my mom used to always say.
Yeah.
And then you had now I can't remember any of them. All of them was popping in my head earlier.
Okay, so I'll go next door to my neighbor who has a dog. I'm going to pour some sugar on the ground next to the dog shit and see how many flies come on each one. More sugar than shit, huh? I don't know. I think shit is going to win out.
No, because it's just your mom knew when you were bullshitting.
Yeah, because I used to say that to my kids a lot. That's why I use most of these phrases, these sayings, because I used to, as being wise, telling them something, I always had a little parable or something to throw in there. And I bet you they know most of these phrases because I've said them.
Well,
yeah,
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Cotton just sent over. She said, till death do us part. Okay.
yeah.
Well, hell,
that's in the marriage.
I guess that's why I ain't married. I want to live. Slap you into the middle of next week. That's one that Cotton posted. Slap you into the middle of next week.
I've heard
okay,
that
we've
one.
Heard that one.
You were slapping somebody real hard.
I'm just so tired that I'm sick and tired of being tired.
My mom used to kill me with some of her stuff when she'd get mad at us. It was something about nuts. Her comments were always like, she would say stuff like, oh, so now you want to play the nut role, huh? Get over here, you nut bucket.
Oh.
Hey, Michael, that's like wanting to be a cowboy and you're giving a person enough rope to hang themselves.
Yep.
Right. Oh, you playing the nut role. You better sit down, you nut bucket.
How come I got to play with the nut rule? Why am I a nut bucket?
Well, okay. I can't think of any other ones. Well, we actually went through almost everything here that we're going to talk about. We still have 30 minutes left. Let me jump back to one more thing here. Let me see if I got everything on the list. Yeah, Cotton. I brought you in this world, and I'll take you out.
Yep.
That's another one.
That's a good one, Cotton.
I've heard that
one. I think all of us probably heard that from a parent.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you believed it, too.
Mm-hmm.
You sure as hell believe it. You had no choice but to believe it.
No, I've taken them out. Almost.
So, okay. Well, we went through everything. Well, one last thing. Let's jump back here to the Supreme Court. We're going to go back into politics for a minute there. I forgot that the new Supreme Court justice was sworn in yesterday, correct?
Well, she was sworn in, but they made it official yesterday by putting her, giving her her seat. They rearranged the way the seating was, and they had some kind of a ceremony, you know, because it was really her first official day.
Well, now we got a black female. We have a black male on the Supreme Court justice. We have We have a black female vice president, or do we?
Yeah.
And I never see her. Where is she?
She's around. She's doing things. You just be working, Michael. But they show her. You don't want to see somebody every day like we had with the last president.
I'm not saying I want to see her every day, but when Biden was vice president, you'd see Biden quite a bit or hear from him. But I just haven't seen her lately or hear much about what she's doing. I just haven't. I watch the news. I don't see her much or hear about what she's doing. You also, Crenshaw? Crenshaw still there?
Crenshaw.
He's still on the board. He might have stepped away for a moment. But I just haven't seen her.
Well, she was in the news when the governor from Texas sent people to her house in Washington. The migrant people.
Okay. I didn't see that one. I must have missed it. Okay. I'm sorry. I've just been distracted for a moment. Trying to take a look at something here. Okay. All right. So we have a little less than 25 minutes left, and I can't think of anything else to bring up. Other than congratulations that she's finally got a seat. Let's see what's going to happen. Then there's some rulings that's going to have to come up, how the vote is going to go now.
Right now, it's 6-3. It's 6 conservative and 3 liberal. So, you know, who knows what might happen, because during Trump's term, you know, he was able to replace 3. Supreme Court justices. That was because they wouldn't let Obama do Garland. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and then they're still thinking, they're working on maybe increasing the Supreme Court.
I've heard that. What's your thoughts on that? You think that we should?
I think so. If they, instead of having Puerto Rico and the Washington, D.C., you know, I think there's places that, territories and things that they can make official so that they can have representation instead of saying it's a territory. But I think they need to do that because if they do another reversal like they did Roe versus Wade, it's going to be an uproar. Because it's hard when you take something away from people who were, you know, over 50 years you're using this and it was just like second nature, and then all of a sudden that's taken away.
Mm.
Not I don't think it was right. And, you know, Thomas said he was thinking that about taking other things away, too. Only thing he didn't mention was interracial marriages, and that's because he's married to a Caucasian.
He wants to sidestep that one. One
of the cases that he brought up has to deal with interracial marriage. So they would be taking a look at that, but he's so close to death's doorstep, he don't care.
Yeah, he sidestepped that one.
And then Roberts says that he doesn't feel people are saying that, you know, people were thinking negatively about the Supreme Court. Well, I mean, they did it when they passed this Roe versus Wade. You know, they stacked the court for a reason. Now we know what that reason was. Let them take something out the way.
Right. Let me pop this in here real quick, and we'll be right back.
Hey, this is St. James, and you're tuned in to TMGN, the Michael Gay Network, home of the Michael Gay Show, and Let's Talk About It, with your host, Cotton Campbell. So keep it locked here for more great conversation on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. Let's get it, baby.
All right. Okay, so
is Cotton going to eventually be on every Thursday, or is it still going to be once a month?
Right now, it's every third Thursday. Looking at starting an evening show, not a late night show, but a night broadcast of a show, and she came up with an idea of poetry. And have different poets on, so that should be really interesting. I thought it was a great idea, and of course some music and a few other variety things. You know, looking at all the time we have a lot of time. We have 7 days a week, 3 hours a day. Be great to use that time. So yeah, she brought it to my attention a couple of days ago, and I thought it was a fantastic idea. So looking at jumping off right around November. So we're just going to get ready to gear up for that. So you guys look out for it. Should be pretty interesting.
Yeah, yes, I think it's going to be nice.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Will still be the third Thursday of each month. Okay. Anything else we want to throw in here while we have about another, I guess, maybe 20 minutes left? A little less than 20 minutes.
Last week, we didn't get to the article about Brett Favre, who took welfare money from Mississippi and did a volleyball stadium or whatever for his daughter, school. And so he really got caught red-handed, but they're kind of like sweeping that under the rug. Now, they didn't do that with Michael Vick. They ran that into the ground, you know, didn't want him to even play anymore. And look what they did with Colin Kaepernick, whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, they actually caught them. The article, Michael, you want me to read the article? Or?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Got to find it. 1 second.
I'm looking for it. I don't see it in my list.
Yeah. It was. Okay, I'm right here. It's Deadspin. The media needs to treat Brett Favre like they did Michael Vick and Colin Kaepernick. So. All right. It says, newsflash, as much as you love them, dogs aren't humans, and as much as it might have infuriated you, asking the police to do their job isn't a fireable offense. That should get you backballed in your industry. In this country, you'll get more mainstream media coverage for killing dogs, which was really bad, but not as bad as storming the U.S. Capitol in an effort to overthrow the fair election with plans to kill government officials, or kneeling during the national anthem because you're tired of white cops getting away with the murder after they played target practice with black bodies. Brett Farr is a trash human being. Jen Stager tried to warn people about him years ago, but being that she's a woman, she was ignored. Go do some research. Sorry. Wait a minute. Go do some research on the situation and learn something. However, what I've learned is barely in the news for this time around. It should be something that the ESPN, CNN, MSNBC, and even Fox News should be airing around the clock. One of America's most cherished quarterbacks diverted funds intended for welfare recipients, but most of all, money was taken away from innocent people that needed it. Usually something like that would lead to a huge news push. Barr denies the accusations and no charges have been filed against him at this time. However, you have to remember who Farr stole from, poor black people in Mississippi. Apparently, that's not news. Y'all know, kind of like how whatever a white kid is kidnapped, it's everywhere you turn. But when little black kids go missing, you have to spend time looking for more information. And that's if anyone even cares enough to cover it. When Mississippi Today published a story earlier this month about how the state's former governor assisted Farr in using welfare funding to pay for a volleyball stadium at his daughter's school, it was ultimate gotcha moment, as it included text messages that proved that Farr and company were deliberately robbing the poor to give even more to the rich. Was just thinking that here is the way to do it, Farr text. If you were to pay me, is there any way the media can find out where it came from and how much, he asked. I'm trying to scroll. Hold on. it's stuck. Hold on. Oh, my gosh. What the heck? My phone froze. Oh. Well, anyway, my phone froze. But I just think it's terrible that he took $70 million to build this volleyball thing.
$70 million.
Yeah, that was welfare.
And what is this money?
From Mississippi.
So how do you get
They're already having problems in the city with the water being so bad because the governor was giving money that was allotted for the city to the suburbs, and now we hear about this.
I haven't heard about that one. And how long ago was this?
This just happened recently. Well, I'm trying to see if my thing unfreeze.
Okay, so I'm pulling up. I see here where Sports Illustrated, it says reports Brett Farr's charitable foundation funneled funds to USM Athletics. Let me scroll back down here. A few weeks ago, text messages from Brett Farr were released detailing that he received state welfare funding from former Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant to build a new indoor volleyball practice facility at the University of Southern Mississippi, his alma mater, and where his daughter plays. A new report released by the Athletic on Wednesday night detailed that Farr's charitable – I don't want that pop up there. Where is that? Farr's Charitable Foundation, Farr for Hope, donated more than $130,000 to USM around the same time the former NFL quarterback, was working with the state governor to fund a new volleyball center at the school. The foundation states that it aims to support disadvantaged children and cancer patients. Tax records obtained by The Athletic detailed that Bar for Hope donated money to USM from 2018 to 2018. The foundation sent the USM Athletic Foundation $60,000, even though no other charities received $10,000 from the foundation that year. In 2019, Far for Hope gave $46,817, while the next highest donation to a charity was just $11,000. Then in 2020, the USM Athletic Foundation received $26,175, while once again, no other charities were given more than $10,000. Far's foundation donated to his daughter's volleyball team while she was in high school, too. In 2015, Oak Grove High in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, received a $60,000 donation from Far for Hope to its booster club. The booster club added $349 to that total for an athletic facility. However, the tax records do not explain the conditions of the donations, but it is likely that the conditions did not align with Far for Hope's mission to help disadvantaged children and those dealing with cancer. Quote, you can't say you're raising money for one purpose and then spend it on something totally different, Executive Director of Charity Watch, Lori Siren, said in The Athletic. Charities have an ethical obligation and in some cases a legal obligation to fulfill the intentions of its donors in the way funds are spent. Goes on to say, there's the letter of the law, there's the spirit of the law, and it's something where it only probably be tough to make a legal case, but it still doesn't look good, Chief Operating Officer of the National Council of Nonprofits, Rick Cohen, said. It isn't unheard of for a nonprofit to expand its mission or change its mission over time if they find they need to redirect. That does not seem to be the case here. Favre is currently one of dozens of individuals being sued by the state of Mississippi for misappropriating funds for the USM volleyball facility. Text messages obtained by Ann Wolf of Mississippi Today show Favre, Governor Bryant, nonprofit founder Nancy New, and former welfare agency director John Davis worked together to funnel at least $5 million of the state's welfare funds toward the building of the stadium. Yeah, that sounds kind of shady. That sounds pretty shady. So we'll have to keep our eye open on that one.
Well, that's all considered theft by deception, which is the same thing Donald Trump and all his minions did as well. They was collecting money for one thing and using it for something else. That's theft by deception.
Well, it's like
over a certain dollar amount, it automatically becomes a felony. So you know Barr has already met the felony statute, so has Trump. But because it's just a theft charge, they're going to find a hard time or a hard way prosecuting them.
Yeah, even though they got it on tape, on text message, not tape, but text message of him asking, will it get out? Will anybody know about it? Oh, no, nobody going to, until that person got in trouble, and then they, you know, squeal.
Yep.
Well, we'll have to keep our eyes open on this one because this would be interesting. Question is anybody going to go to jail? Probably not. Probably not.
I just think it's sad, we'll just see. Like with Kaepernick. I mean, he's still not playing, you know?
Well, Vic went to
jail. What was that?
Vic went to jail.
Yeah, he sure did. And they tried to make him stop didn't want him to play, but he got picked up anyway. But they were trying hard to blackball him.
That's true. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of cases or a lot of individuals who've been indicted and this and the other, and they still haven't gone to court. You know, they waved them off, waved it off, and postponed. You just kind of wonder. Somebody got to be spending a lot of money and doing a lot of, you know, backroom wheeling and dealing. Because a lot of people, their cases should have been heard by now.
Money is the root of all evil.
That's another
that
thing.
That is very true. There's another one. Yeah, that is definitely a fact. That is.
I'm surprised that wasn't in the list.
Oh, yeah. And follow the rich white guy.
I haven't heard that one.
No, I didn't hear that
but
one either.
That can be popular.
Well,
but
yeah,
that can be popular.
You follow the money. Follow the rich white guy. That's going to lead you to
all
the corruption you can handle.
Very true. Very true. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have 8 minutes, and we're going to be rolling on out of here. Again, our prayers to everyone who along the coast. Hopefully, that you can get back on the feet. Like I said, that one area, I think it was Fort Myers or one of those places. 90% of the community is gone. So we have to keep our prayers for them. I guess we'll see each other or hear each other next week here on TMGS. Working on guests. I know I said that we're going to have some guests come on, and we still haven't been able to nail down a Saturday because a lot of them are performing. But I did talk to Mr. White, who is the manager for the Stone City Band. If you guys remember Stone City Band, that was Rick James' Funkified group. His background, band, all those guys are still together. When I talked to Mr. White, he says, you know, all the original cats are still together. They're performing, touring, and so the only thing that's missing is Rick. So I'll be talking with him on Monday, and we're going to try to schedule a date for the Stone City Band to join us, and that should be a lot of fun with some stories that they'll share with us, and of course, listen to some of their music and Rick James' music. So we're trying to put that all together in the next couple of weeks. And like I said, I'll be talking to them on Monday and see if we can get a Saturday set up. That should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah, that should be a lot of fun. All right, well, we're going to go ahead and get on out of here. You guys enjoy the rest of your weekend. Have a great Sunday. And we'll see you next Saturday. Don't forget to tune in to Third Thursday. Tune in to Let's Talk About It with Cotton Campbell, all right? Continue to support TMGN. All right. Thanks, Cotton, for listening in. Hope you're enjoying yourself wherever you are. Thanks for chiming in and sharing some of those sayings, all right? Yeah. You know, like some of them are, don't let the doorknob hit you with a good Lord split you. That was one that you I'm sure you heard. Some of those too.
Well, that was one that wasn't on there either, Michael. That was pretty good too. But you know, just be amazed that old sayings I've said to people and my children, and it was like, oh my gosh, you know, I sounded like a broken.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
All right, you guys. Have a good one. We're going to get out of here. I'm going to close out with the instrumental from Coolio, a single that he did called 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm just going to do the instrumental part of it. And we'll see you next Saturday. All right? God bless.
All right, good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Peace.
You
don't think it's